Lord of all, you are Lord of all. All that has been created has come from your hand, most heavenly Father, most high God. We are completely in awe of you and your promises, that your creation that stands around us from the highest mountaintops to the longest beaches, to the depths of the oceans and into the universe and the galaxies and the stars and the sky. You have created it all and have them all named. And you know us so intimately. You know our rising. And you know our lying down. You know our every thought. You know everything that we've ever experienced and gone through and made a way through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, as a promised one to bring us back to the Father. For it is from your hand that we've been created, and it's a circle of love that surrounds us tonight and that will leave and bring us back before you, Lord, here and now. Because of our being your chosen habitation, the dwelling place of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Savior, who is, who was, and who is to come, the Eternal One, the bright and morning star. Lord, you are the Alpha and the Omega. You are the one who has called us out of darkness, and you came to set the captives free. You are not going to leave us bound in sin or in the realms of darkness, but you have brought us into your glorious light, and the glorious one lives on this inside of us, and the more that we acknowledge you, the more radiant we become, the more liberty and joy and freedom we experience, because we're a God-conscious people, and we want to do your will, the will of the Father in this world. So we rejoice tonight. We rejoice because we are your sons and your daughters. We have been fully secured for eternity because of the blood, that was shed on the cross for us and washes us and cleanses us and makes us brand new. Amen? I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And the risen one is rising up in me morning after morning and all throughout the day. And here I'm going to read this to you because this is just what the Lord was speaking to me and for all of us tonight. And it's out of John 3, because when you think about Jesus, and I was just thinking about how Nicodemus was one of the, this is in John 3, Nicodemus was one of the Pharisees. You know, they call about the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they were so Pharisaical, they were sad, you see? Because they were so wrapped up and bound up in religion, and they were not free. So free people, because freedom is attractive. It is beautiful. And when you walk in the Spirit, you're walking and allowing Christ to lead you through the power of the Holy Spirit. He's talking to you, directing you. He's giving you wisdom when you ask for it. Anybody want some wisdom? The Lord says, ask, and he will give it liberally. I mean, I'm just saying it over and over again. Lord, I need more, because it's like there's so many, whoosh, just like the angels that were circling around the Lord. I mean, it's like every time they get a greater revelation of, whoa. I mean, just think about all of history and all of those that have gone before us and everything that has been captured in the library, everything that you've always wondered about. You'll get to know these things firsthand. Because he's recorded every life according to truth. Because everybody's going to have a side of it. But when we know truth, walk by truth, see by the light, we're in the light. And he sheds that light within us. And so with Nicodemus, this one who was bewildered at the miracles that he was seeing Jesus performing in his time. And he goes to him in the night. He comes into him in the night because he didn't want to be seen. He was like, oh, I better like go hide because I don't want anybody to see me. But he goes to see Jesus. And he says, Rabbi, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. So he acknowledged that. He was able to acknowledge what he was seeing. He could confess the truth of it, but still he was in such a place, in such a state of bewilderment. And he says, because Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again. That's when life begins in your spirit. It's like instantaneous, going from spiritual death for hundreds of years, centuries. And in that moment, one could be born again. Born again. He cannot see the kingdom of God. Who knows? We've got the kingdom of God dwelling on the inside of us. His kingdom is ever expanding as we're speaking it, coming into agreement. He is releasing it. So Nicodemus is having this conversation with him, and he's saying, how can a man be born when he is old? I mean, that's a head scratcher. You know, I mean, if you've never known what being born again meant, like we do now, it was like so peculiar and stunning of a teaching to have to process. And he went to see him in the middle of the night, goes, what does this mean? He wants to know. And those that are hungry, you'll learn. When you're desiring more and more, he'll teach you. He'll show you. He'll speak to you. So Nicodemus, he says, how can this be when you're old? How can one enter into the womb, the mother's womb, a second time and be born? So Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Whew, thank you, Holy Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. We've been given an invitation here and now to enter into the kingdom of God. And it's not way out there like I used to think, like God's so far away. But I mean, right here, the very breath that you breathe and wake up with every morning is a means that his life and his purpose is alive on the inside of you. So he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. He goes, marvel not at these things that you must be born again. And he speaks about the wind blowing. You know it's there, but you don't see it. I mean, this is faith. When you have faith on the inside of you to believe, and he's teaching him. So everyone that is born of the Spirit. And he goes on just asking him about receiving this. And he says, you know, they know about earthly things, and he's contrasting these things about heavenly things. And so he's dialoguing with Nicodemus, just like the Lord wants to dialogue with us now. Whether in the night watch or in the morning, whenever the morning begins, that bright morning star, when he is summoning you, you'll know it. And when you're obedient, even if it's he loves quick obedience. You know, I mean, there could be, oh, I got to get out of bed. But, you know, it's like, but once you're awake and moving around, it's just that life force comes inside of you. And especially when you call upon his grace. And the thing that's interesting, even also, many of you know, with Nicodemus later, much later, in John 19, is when he went to the Lord again. And this time he was bringing the myrrh. He was bringing the wrappings for him with his burial. And he was one who was called out, not even knowing that he would be the one who would be given that privilege and that honor to be there with him and to be able to honor the King of Kings and Lord of Glory, that he would not have just been set aside, but that there was a place prepared for Jesus. And that place was the ultimate glory that came forth on that third day where resurrection hit him from on high. And he rose again and put to complete silence every other form of religion and any kind of belief in any kind of idol, even that which is in the world today. He's the one who, and the only one, who rose from the dead. And his promises are for you, and his promises are for me. And the more that we know his word, are living in his word, the word, the Son of God, who became a man, the Son of Man, so that we could become sons of God. I mean, whoa, what mysteries these are that we just get to just enjoy now. It's like so magnificent what he's done for us. So many promises, so many blessings. All because you were with it. You were worth it. You were worth it. You've been made worthy. You have been made worthy to come before him boldly. 1 Thessalonians 5:24 says, faithful is he that called you, that has called you, that has called you, for he will do it. Amen. Let's just give the Lord some praise in this house, won't you, with me? Hallelujah. It's so great to be here in the Father's house. And I need to see, let's see, I just want to say welcome, one and all. So good to see you all. Good to see you, Miss Monica. Let's just give Monica some love, won't you? Come on, girl. Give it up. And then Miss Shaheen right here. Long time, forever friend, beautiful, powerful, prophetic evangelist, gone to Pakistan. Incredible testimony. We've got Miss Layla in the house. We've got Lala's mama. Won't y'all welcome her? Yes. And she's come because we're going to be celebrating. You want to go ahead and do that? And then I'm going to ask Tim to come on up because it was Miss Lala's birthday yesterday. And we had prayer yesterday, and Holy Spirit's so faithful, because I just felt this, when is Lala's birthday? And that was yesterday. And I was like, oh, I got to go find out. And she wasn't going to say a word, but it's like Holy Spirit was making it known to me. The Holy Spirit nudged me, but I still missed it. So I go, oh, hey, happy birthday. I was calling her later after corporate prayer on the way home. So we're just making it a birthday week. And so we're going to have Veronica stand up because it's her birthday today. Yes. She's 28, just like me. Lala's 24. So we're going to have y'all stand up. And we're going to sing happy birthday. And we're going to have, here you go, buddy.
Hold on, we're missing somebody. I need Tara. Come on up. I got this. Ladies, I need you in front and center, please. Front and center. Over here. There we go. On behalf of Father's House, we want to wish you a happy birthday and God bless you all, y'all. But I speak blessings over all of you. Right now, I pray that unexpected blessings come over to you, that finances will be coming to you unexpectedly. Just this is going to be your year. And I pray and believe that in Jesus' name. But we ain't going out without a boom. Father's House, let's give it up for the birthday girls! Happy birthday to you! I say happy birthday to you, and God bless all of you.
Help me. God. Oh, my goodness. I don't know how we ever started that, and the greater miracle is everyone wants it to continue, so praise God. Tim has found one of his giftings. Glory to God. So we're going to receive an offering tonight. It's so funny, Anna was talking about waking up in the morning and getting up, and yesterday I said I'd set my alarm to get up for prayer before prayer. And so I just mentioned that, and while we were, right before we went into prayer, I just asked if anybody had any questions. And Andres over here had this amazing spiritual look on his face, and I thought he was going to come out with a real deep, well-thought-out question. And you got to know Andres. He goes, and Pastor, he goes, I just wanted to know, what time did you actually set your alarm? It's an inside joke. 1 John 1, we'll be passing out envelopes coming from the right and left. This is a really powerful, it's only 1 John 3 and 1. Chapter, Little John, third book of Little John, verse 1. That's how you're supposed to say it. And so he's writing this one little small chapter to this man Gaius. He's a very unique man. A lot of people don't know who he was, but in the early church, he was a very powerful force. And it says, the elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, he goes, whom I love in the truth. He says, beloved, I wish above all things that you may as prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospereth. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified that the truth is in thee, even as you walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear my children walk in truth. Beloved, doest thou faithfully whatsoever you do. Say that again. Doest thou faithfully whatsoever you do. Doest thou faithfully whatsoever you do. To the strangers, to the brethren and to the strangers, which have borne witness of your love before the church, whom if you bring forward on their journey after godly sort, thou shalt do well. Because for his name's sake, they went forth taking nothing of the Gentiles. And he goes on to talk about the persecution that they were under by Diotrephes. And he was actually throwing out people that belonged to the apostolic, the truth, the brethren. He wanted to have the preeminence, and he was discarding and throwing them out. And Gaius stood up. He was a very wealthy man. Gaius had, it's very interesting, he had three principal residences. He had a home in Derbe. He had a home in Corinth, and a home in Macedonia. And all of those, by the way, were on trade routes, so I kind of think he was a businessman in trade, but a very wealthy man. And he had three houses. And here John is saying to him, I wish above all things you would prosper and be in good health. You'd think God would be telling everybody else, but he was supplying the needs of the brethren. He was sending them out. They would come to the city. He would house them. In fact, it's his house that Paul wrote the book of Romans in Gaius's house. There was like 15 people, so it wasn't a one bedroom apartment. I can tell you that. There was like 15 people that was with Paul and he housed them there, and he would send them all out into their journey. So he was a major source of blessing and funding for the apostolic, reformation that was taking place in the early church. And so God's here saying, I wish above all things you would prosper and continue to prosper, because he was supplying the fuel for the word of God to go forth. And he was doing it under persecution. And so we are to thank God. We live in a country that we are not persecuted. I mean, there's a little bit of persecution, but it's nothing like other countries. You can freely give. You can freely come to church. You can freely worship God. I mean, he was being persecuted for giving to the brethren, but he did it anyway. And that's what John wrote this letter to thank him and to bless him and in honor of what he was doing. So God wants to honor you when you honor the kingdom of God. Amen? When we honor the kingdom, God honors us. Amen? And God wishes above all things that we prosper Put your hand over your heart and say, Father, I thank you. You wish above all things that I prosper and be in good health, even as my soul is prospering. That's a big one right there. Good health, prosperity of the soul, prosperity of finances. You have all three of those, you're a very wealthy person. You can have wealth and not prosperity of the soul. We're finding out how the prosperity of the heart, prosperity of the body, prosperity in the finances. Amen. Everyone say, I am blessed. Well, since you're so blessed, you can feel free to bring forward now. Hallelujah. Sending this word out to the nations. Glory to God. Chris, I'm letting you choose. I hope you pick a good one. So you can bring forth happy, happy. Anything at this point. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Other than that, because Tim's going to sing if you don't put a song on. Praise God. Chris, just put us up. Just come forward. Chris, just put any of one of them on. That's Chuck's favorite, by the way. Amen. Okay, you fellowshipping church, you can continue after service. Hallelujah. Hey, happy birthday, all of you. Thank God for your coming to service. That's awesome. Give them a big hand. Praise God. Glory to God. Oh, yeah, Father, thank you for this amazing offering. Thank you for the blessing that we lift it up into the jurisdiction of your kingdom where all increase and multiplication dwells. We ask, Father, to breathe the Ruah, breath of God, upon it. The blessing, the increase, the multiplication, release. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Glory. Everyone say, Alleluia. So, I want us to share one verse. Then I'm going to have Lala come up and just testify a little bit. And let me share this. Yeah, I'll okay, just give me one second. She's so excited. So John 14, verse 18, he says, I'll not leave you comfortless. Say, I'll not leave you as an orphan. That's one of the greatest words he ever spoke. He actually spoke these in the upper room with 11 men. He goes, I'm not going to leave you as a spiritually orphaned generation. A spiritually orphaned people that happened with Adam. I'm not going to leave you this way. Even though I'm going away, I'm not going to leave you that way. I will come to you. I will come to you. Say, I'll come. Say, come, Lord. He said, a little while the world will not see me, but you will see me. Even when I leave, you're going to see me. That, when you begin to see the Lord, it's not enough to be born again anymore. I mean, it's awesome to be born again. That's your fire insurance. But he wants us to see him, know him, behold him, know where he's at, be with him where he is. Amen? So he can rejoin us to the Father. That's the heartbeat of God, to be rejoined to the Father. There is no greater purpose under heaven to seek and save the lost and to be rejoined to the Father. You know, it's sad because so many people know the Lord and they know the Father is like my heavenly Father, but they haven't been brought into that reconciliation, that union with him. I believe we're going to see that in this generation in a great, great way. We're going to see this generation come up to be unionized with the Father. And this is what's happened so much to this house, sons and daughters of this house. And I just want you to hear a little bit from Lala about Father's love. And then we're going to have Pastor Chuck minister a little bit. Come on up, Lala. Let's give the Lord a hand.
Good evening, Father's House Church. What an awesome night, and thank you for the birthday wishes. On behalf of myself and all the other April babies here, so one of the things that I wanted to share was just how transformational the Father's love has been and the encounters that I've been having one after another. But see, the thing about it is that it's very important to prioritize that and make that number one. As you start off your day, what I do is what the technique that I found that happens to work for me, and I've also even heard other people share this, what I like to do is I like to connect with the Holy Spirit. So what I do is I look for him inside of myself. So the first thing I do is I ask him, okay, Holy Spirit, let me find you. Like, where are you? And I have a seat. I sit down in the morning, and I'm like, okay, let me find where you are. Let me find my place and connect with the Holy Spirit. In that very moment, that's when it starts activating. And there you are, and you're connected to the Holy Spirit, and he just takes over from there. He already knows where you want to go. He knows how to take you there. And the amazing thing is, that you are able to have encounter after encounter after encounter if you just prioritize and separate this time in the morning, if you need it, noontime, evening time. I like to be personally with the Father. I like to spend with him all my day. I want to be with him in the morning. I want to be with him in the noontime, in the afternoon, in the evening before I go to sleep. Because it's that transformational. You learn how to live on another level. And that is just everything changes. Your heart, how you see things, how you're able to receive grace, how you're able to receive love, all of it is just really, really powerful. And another wonderful thing is that when you come in contact with other people throughout your day, it's amazing. Because it's an outflow. And not only did you get to have an encounter with the Father that day, but now they're able to start having an encounter because he's operating within you, and you have people around you getting touched by the Lord that you didn't even plan on. You didn't even know it was going to happen. You just went to the store, or you went to visit your parents, or you went to hang out with your friends, And there he is. There is the Lord. It's like there the Father just starts, you know, interacting. And it's amazing because you just get to witness. I get to witness this. And I'm like, wow, I had no idea you were capable of all this. So my rant. But anyway, I just wanted to share that because it's been so powerful and so transformational. And I also am really grateful for my family here because without them, I wouldn't have been able. Pastor LaRue and Pastor Anna, and I want to honor everyone here, and Jennifer and David and Pastor Chuck and everyone, Sharon, Tim, Brianna, everyone that's here that has been my support and has been such a big blessing and a part of my growth, because I would not have been able to get where I am now. So thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
Hallelujah. So good evening. You know, she makes a valid point when we begin separating out the first part of the day. But one of the other things, too, is just to not try to make it so hard. Sometimes we try so hard that we really block the voice of the Holy Spirit to speak within our heart. So when we just relax and say, Holy Spirit, I know you want this more than I do. You're looking for it more than me. You're looking for it and you delight in me. When I begin to recognize that he delights in me, it makes it easy. And when he makes it easy, then it's amazing how well it just flows from that point. So just a quick consideration. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 5. I want to just kind of maybe pick up on a little bit of a theme that she was leaving there. But before that, I want to just recall, out of Isaiah 30, it says, joy cometh in the morning. Joy cometh in the morning. And I know this has got to be Sharon's favorite scripture. But joy cometh in the morning. What he spoke to me this week was, what he asked was, when is the morning? When is the morning? The morning is any time that the light comes. When his light begins to dawn in our heart, there is joy coming. As his light begins to dawn on us, as the revelation of his heart, the revelation of who he is, the revelation of his identity, the revelation of the identity he has for you begins to dawn on you, there's joy that comes and follows that action. It's not just a time of day. It's actually an attitude that he's talking about happening to bring you into a new place. Hallelujah. Okay, so here we go. Because I'm excited about this, because this is, like I told him on Sunday morning, what God has really been doing here with this little next little passage is he began setting me free of me. Setting me free. Yes, there you go. Of me. See, I was really good when he was setting me free of Tim. I was even better when he set me free of LaRue. But now he's setting me free of me. Because, see, there's certain things that I began to recognize in my relationship with God, that God wasn't the one who was responsible for the dysfunction that was happening. Who knew? So I had to begin to understand just exactly. As I began to see him differently through this one little scripture, it began to just open up a whole new revelation in me. And let me just read it to you real quick, and then we'll start talking. We already started talking, didn't we? 2 Corinthians 5 and 14. For the love of Christ, and here in the New American Standard, it says controls us. In the King James, it says constrains us. But the NIV says compels us. In other words, it's the love of Christ that holds us fast, holds us together. It's the thing that becomes the glue in the relationship. When we begin to focus on the love of Christ, when we begin to see the love that he has for us, when we see the fullness of what he has for us, that's the glue that is binding us together. That's what creates the unity in the church, but most of all, it's what creates the unity in our love for the Father. Because as much as I wanted to just, you know, I was always trying to tell him, hey, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. That wasn't the same as recognizing the love he has for me. Thank you. Hallelujah. Because as I begin to recognize the love he has for me, there's that love. That is the love that can compel me. In other words, it begins to bring, be a positive force to move me in the direction that the kingdom would have me to go. When I begin to understand that the love of Christ, because see, this is not just my, this is not about my love for him, but it's his love for me. How do we know that? Because if you look back down through here, you see that it's talking about he died for all. That he died for all. And they no longer live for themselves, but for him who lives again on their behalf. In other words, it's his love that made all this possible. It's his love that brought forth the grace that we get to step into. We come and step into grace by faith. And as we step into a grace by faith, that is what makes open the access that we have before us. And as we do that, we're recognizing the fullness of what he has already placed available for us. It's his love compelling us into something new. It's his love compelling us into a new dynamic in our relationship. It's his love making us aware of everything around us in a different fashion. Just go there. When love compels me, I'm no longer operating for self. When love compels me, I can now freely operate and interact with kingdom. I can operate and interact out of kingdom prosperity, out of kingdom principle, out of kingdom the intention, rather than out of my own intention. There are certain things that happen. Like, say, let me just be very, very, very transparent. See, in a lot of times when I would be preparing a message and I would be studying on Saturday night, studying on Sunday morning, really early in the morning, there would be a tension inside of me. Why? Because, see, a certain part of me wanted to always just preach something that I knew would be accepted. Why? Because I was looking for acceptance in it. Don't frown at me. Come on, Nick. It wasn't that bad. But here's the deal. See, what the Lord was pointing out to me was that is a result of me not understanding fully the love Father has for me. Because see, when I understand the love Father has for me, I begin to understand the love. As I understand that love, now then I no longer need to worry about someone else's acceptance. Why? Because I'm already accepted. And when I'm walking in the fullness of that acceptance, your agreement, disagreement, it's all good. I'm free of you, and then I'm free of me. So that's the point of what I'm saying. That's one of the ways it begins to change me when I begin to understand it's the love of God that's compelling me. It's the love of God that causes me to supersede those things that would cause me to act in a defensive manner. It's what causes me to supersede anything that would cause me to try to shrink back from what faith would do. See, faith, when we shrink back, faith is not being in operation. But the greatest operation of faith is actually your daily walk. Your daily walk, when your daily walk is in love and is compelled by love. That takes more faith to walk in love than it does to do most anything else. I've obtained many things by faith. I've obtained shofars and swords and knives and if Debbie was here, she was the one who gave me the very first thing that I ever did by faith, which was a little money clip, right? Why did I do a money clip by faith? Simply because I heard Gary Carpenter say he got a money clip by faith, and I thought, well, Gary can do it, I can do it. So I just started praying, and about 30 days later, Debbie comes up. I don't know why I'm doing this, but here. See, faith can obtain things, but it's not just about the things that it's not supposed to be about the things that are physical possessions. It's supposed to be obtaining a new life within us, a new walk within us, a new purpose within us, a new desire in our hearts. See, when I wake up and I, you know, one of the prayers that I recognize that people don't really say very often is, Lord, I'm selfish, change me. Because see, the reality is that none of us, we're not focused on that part. But you know what? It takes a lot more faith to operate and say, God, I am selfish. There's something in me that needs to change. Lord, change me. Because when I begin to give him that opportunity, I'm now being compelled by faith. I'm being compelled by love. I'm being compelled by what the Lord is putting in me and what he's actually making available out in front of me. And guess what? When you're actually walking like that, then you're no longer walking in discouragement, disappointment, emptiness. Because when I'm actually walking out of the Lord's compelling, it will always create fruitfulness around me. It always creates fruitfulness in me. In other words, the well can't run dry. Why? Because it's continually being filled. See, if I start preaching and teaching and all I'm on and I'm doing it just simply because I want to hear myself speak, then I'm missing the point. Because eventually, when you're just hearing yourself speak, you run out of things to say. And an emptiness sets in. Because why? Because you find out ultimately that wasn't nearly as fulfilling as I thought it was going to be on the outset. But when I begin to just look and all I want to do is represent what he says, when I'm looking to do and just to perform with an audience of one, no matter whatever else happens, now I have something in me that it is compelling not only me, but it is also released to compel others. It's his desire to compel each and every one of us to a higher place. He's already created the platform. He's already made it available. It's just got to come up and be that thing that begins to dawn on us, the dawn of the morning, and joy comes with it. As there's a revelation that begins to awaken in us, that revelation begins to stir us to do things in a new way. We can let loose of old things. We can let loose of old habits, and we can engage a new attitude towards those around us. One that's no longer controlled by the old habit, but now being compelled by faith. And see, when we do that, that means the relationship can now be freed from the dysfunction of the past. Hello. Got really quiet in here. Okay. When it changes, see, there's got to be something that changes for us to operate in a new way. Well, in other words, breakthrough can't happen until we engage change. But when we engage change, now breakthrough is actually a possibility. Breakthrough is actually not only a possibility, it's a reality. I have a couple that I'm ministering to, not in this church. We don't leave looking at each other. Okay? And see, they're continually looking at the fruit of the dysfunction, but they don't want to look at the dysfunction itself. Why? Because they already suspect somewhere down inside them that dysfunction has something to do with me. You don't know about anything about that, do you? I'm recognizing some dysfunction that has something to do with me. Rue is busy trying to look. He's not looking up here. is the camera on me? Here, let's put the camera on him right there. There we go. Okay, there we go. Wave to everybody at home. So see, when when they are looking at this situation, it's all about pointing the finger at the other person for all the things that they're doing. And the reality is, in this relationship, there is so much going on that's good if they would just look at it. They have so much together, so much that is really in alignment, if it would, but if they're busy focusing on the things that are not. But that, and here's part of the key, see, for her, everything about her existence is about trying to create safety. And in her process of trying to create safety, she's actually pushing him away and not even understanding it. Why? Because she was trying to make him her safe place, but in ways that he wasn't able to meet, so that she keeps, then all that does is when he doesn't follow, he doesn't meet that need, then she just tries harder, which only pushes him further, and she tries harder and pushes him further, and tries harder and pushes him further. Not understanding that's what's happening. Not understanding that how many know that if you do the same thing over and expect a different result, that's just insanity. But that's what's going on. And it's ultimately not even because of his failure, but it's because she's not even trusting God in this. And so when she learns to look to him to be the one that meets the need, now love can compel the rest of her responses to change. Hallelujah. All the rest of her responses, did you put the heat on? I mean, I'm burning up here. So, there's something going on in here and in this atmosphere, I can tell you. I got to find, there we go, we got some. It's Tim. I won't leave that one alone. So there's a fire that happens because it happens because just simply because the Holy Ghost wants it to happen. So we're just going to run with that, okay? But the whole purpose of looking at the dysfunction is to recognize that, you know, when love compels me, I no longer have to respond in the old pattern. I no longer have to repeat the old pattern. Why? Because love can compel a new response in me. It releases me to a freedom in him, to an identity in him that causes me to be able to release others around me. Thank you. Because there's a need in every one of us, but there's only one person who's truly the need meter, and it's not your spouse. It's not your friend. It's not your boss. It's not anybody else who can really meet those needs that you are trying to place on them. We need to break the cycle of dysfunction and recognize there's a need meter. Jesus is always going to be our answer. We just have to remember to come to him. We have to remember to rise up and walk with him, rise up and look to him. And if what's going on doesn't seem to be working, then we just turn right back to him. Why? Because his love compels us. When I began to understand the depth of his love in a brand new way, I've been here, I've been preaching for a few years. I've preached about the love of God. But I can tell you, you can meet the love of God in such a way that it compels you in a whole new understanding. And it's available to you every day. Every day. Continually, moment after moment, if you'll just surrender into him, you can experience a new walk in him every day. It will force you sometimes to let go of things. I had to let go of some of my comfort zone. I had to let go of those things that felt good and familiar. Because, see, not everything that feels good and familiar is actually right. Sometimes it's real easy to just go with something simply because it's familiar. But if it's familiar and broken, going with it is not going to get you a different result. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But I can tell you, thank you for the AC. I can tell you, whatever it is that he calls you to leave off will only result in your betterment. It will only result in increase. When he calls us and says, okay, I really, really need for you to let go of the control, and I'm not looking at anybody in here. When I'm not looking at anybody in here, when I need you to let go of the control, I need for you to. Why? Because when love compels you, you're set free to a new place. You're set free to a new journey. You're set free. And now, because you have freedom, others around you can have freedom. As I find freedom, I'm okay with giving you freedom to be who you are. And I'm also okay with giving you the freedom to come up higher. You know, some teachers and preachers aren't really looking for you to come up higher. Why? Because that means they have to go higher. They'd rather just keep you squished down. I shouldn't even go there. They just want to squish it. Squish it good. Because they want to keep you squished down. Why? Because they're not wanting to be the challenge to go higher. I want you to challenge me to go higher. He wants you to challenge him to go higher. We're delighted to see that we have these people who are all looking to go higher. We have a body of people here who are truly pursuing what God has for them, truly pursuing to grow in maturity of the Lord and to grow with him in new ways. And guess what? That causes all of us to elevate. The elevation in a house can never be about one man. It has to be about a group of people coming together in a place of unity. Why? Because they see something and hear something that sounds like Jesus. Hallelujah. So as you're being compelled, how do we get there? Hebrews 3:1. Hallelujah. I love the book of Hebrews. Hebrews takes you from beginning to end in a faith walk. It takes a little while to get the hang of Hebrews, but when you understand Hebrews, it's everything. Hallelujah. Hebrews 3 and 1 says, therefore. In other words, why is it therefore? Because of everything he already just said about Jesus being ready there. Jesus being right there. That he rendered powerless him who had the power of death. That is the devil. That's why it's there for. Because he wasn't ashamed to call us brethren. That's why it's there for. And so it says, therefore, holy brethren. Therefore, holy brethren in Father's House Church. Therefore, partakers of a heavenly calling. Is that you? If you didn't say yes, you need to say yes. Partakers of a heavenly calling. We're called to be partakers of a heavenly calling. You know, sometimes some churches might teach that as being blasphemous, but this is what the Word tells you. It's compelling you to a higher level. Consider Jesus, the apostle, and the high priest of our confession. See, this is one of the things that one of our young people dug out, Mr. Cody. He dug out the fact that to consider is to make a daily covering by use or practice. A daily covering. In other words, my considering, my reflection on Jesus needs to be a daily practice, a daily use, and it becomes my covering. It allows me to come into a covering to stand under him as I begin to acknowledge him, acknowledge all that's good in me because of Christ Jesus in me. As I begin to consider the one who's an apostle, consider the one who's a high priest, consider what his blood purchased for me. Consider that he is calling me brethren, that he's calling me holy, a partaker of a divine nature. What is an apostle? One who's sent. One who's sent. Okay? Well, why was he sent? Because Father had a message for you. Is that everyone, the law is not reflecting who I really truly am. You haven't understood the nature of who I am yet. So let me send one who is like me to represent me so that you can meet me. He was sent to represent the Father. He was sent so we could understand the fullness of what the Word had been trying to release to us. The law could bring us into a recognition of our need for a Savior, but can never be the Savior. But He was sent to be your Savior. He was sent to awaken us to everything that the Father has for us. And He's the one who was not only was awakening us to it, but as the High Priest, He was the one who brings us in to it. The one who causes us to enter in. The one who prepares the pathway for us. The one who comes and parts the veil. Do you know the hardest veil for you to part? Is the one of your own self. Your own soul spirit. Your spirit wants to rise up, but your soul wants to say, that doesn't look comfortable. Push it back down. Squeeze it. So as we, you're going to divert me from my path now. So, see, in all of this, it says the apostle and the high priest of our confession. Our confession. Do you know what confession actually means? If you break it down, it means to say the same thing. To say the same thing. When I'm saying the same thing as the apostle and high priest of my heart, when I'm saying the same thing as Jesus is saying, guess what? Now I'm able to walk in something that I never even knew. And I begin saying the same thing as Jesus saying, I'm saying the same thing as the Father said. Why? Because He's only going to tell me what the Father will do. He's only going to release what the Father releases. So He's going to show me what the Father has for me. So when I'm saying the same thing, now all of a sudden I'm no longer seeing myself as some slimy dog worm like the old school religion used to try to teach me. I'm just being able to see myself as righteous and set free. I'm free of me. Hallelujah. And joy cometh in the morning, doesn't it? Hallelujah. Let me touch base on this real quick here. So there's a result that begins to flow out of our looking and standing under, letting Him be a daily covering, letting Jesus be our daily covering. As you're coming in, and you're coming into the high places, as you're coming into the encounters, as you're coming into the tree of life, as you're walking in with Jesus in agreement and accordance and saying the same thing as He's saying, now there's a flow that begins to hum up in your life, and that flow takes you somewhere. And we see it here. Chapter 4, verse 2. For indeed we've had the good news preached to us, but the word they heard did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard. Speaking of those who were part of the Israel before they entered the promised land. But number 3. For we who have believed enter into that rest. We who have believed. See, that's what happens is when you believe, you enter into rest. When you believe, you enter into a new state of being. But see, one of the things I want to explain to you, entering into rest is not a destination. It's actually a beginning. It's not the arrival point. It's not the final destination. It's a place to step from into this a place of inheritance with the Father, a place of inheritance, a place of a new walk with Him. The rest was never supposed to be the place where everybody stuck. Israel, when they climbed up out of the river, they didn't just camp right there. They began to enter into the promise and conquer and live in agreement and accordance with what Father was sitting in front of them. The rest is what causes you to be able to step into the inheritance. The rest is a portal to your inheritance. It's a portal into the journey that we have with Him. See, the rest is simply the beginning of a new journey, a greater journey, a journey where we can set aside the other distraction. We can set aside the places of unbelief, and we can get out of the peril of disobedience and just step into a place of alignment. That's its purpose. It's its purpose. When we begin to see the rest, now we can begin to see truly how He beholds us. See, I've shared this before. I don't remember if I've shared it with y'all or not, so just bear with me. But a lily, it sits there and it focuses and it beholds the sun, but at the same time, it's being beheld by others who see its beauty. And it doesn't have to shrink back. It can let others take delight in it. Because when we see a lily, it's something to behold. It's something to take delight in. Why? Because it has beauty. And if I can make myself and come into alignment and understand that in the same way as this lily has a beauty, an adornment about it that's unique to this one flower. If I can come into alignment with that and I can see how someone can take delight in it because it's wonderful, then I can have an inkling of how He takes delight in me. Because His delight is for you. His delight's in you. And as you begin to understand that in a new way, now that sets us free from all the other things that the enemy tried to sow into our life. You know, because for a lot of time in my life, I did not have an idea that God could take any delight in me. For those who know my past, you probably would wonder why God would take delight in me as well. But see, He doesn't look at it the same way as we do. He sees who you really are, who you're really called to be. He sees you totally nestled up in Christ Jesus. And as you're totally nestled up in Christ Jesus, the same love and the same adornment that He has with Him, He has for you. Now that means I can truly come to Him freely without an evil conscience. I can truly come to Him freely without any reservation. Why? Because I can see that one who loves me so completely has no evil intent towards me. When you grew up in a situation that I grew up in, I never knew what to expect next. There were moments my dad could be wonderful. And then there were moments when it was so awful, so terrible, and so abusive that you didn't know. But the deal is that the switch between one situation and the other was like that. So I lived continually on edge, continually waiting for what was happening next, because I always expected harm. It's so nice to be free, to know that He intends no harm. Hallelujah. And when He intends no harm, I can freely come to Him and I can hang out with Him, not having to be concerned about what's happening next. See, that means that I'm no longer having to anticipate a problem. I can anticipate the blessing. God is calling us to anticipate the blessing. He's calling us to walk. That's the rest. That's the purpose of the rest, so that we can walk in a fullness of the inheritance. Part of that inheritance means we're free from the baggage, and we're no longer having to answer to those things. We're no longer having to defend ourselves against those things. We can begin engaging who He is and receiving the fullness, the blessing of it. Hallelujah. There's something, I'll probably touch more on this on Sunday, but Mark 1 real quick, since I got a moment. There's something that happens when we engage, Jesus the way He's calling us to engage Him. When we begin to walk in faith with Him, something is released. Something that we want, something that we need. And we see verse 16. Might as well just read 15 because it's fun. The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and believe. Okay, now we're into faith. And as he was going along by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said, follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men. And then something amazing happened. Immediately they left their nets and followed him. Almost everyone that I know came to Christ because of a crisis in their life. I can only think of one person that I know who didn't actually come to Christ in a low place unless they were, in other words, of people who were saved as an adult. People who were saved as children, that's a little different story. But most of the time we come to Christ because of a crisis in their life. These men were at the top of their game. They stepped out and started following him out of the fullness and abundance of where they were, but because they saw something in Christ that compelled them. Love was compelling them. Love was drawing them and causing them to set aside a good living in that society to follow after and do what he was doing. Now, I'm not saying you have to do that, but what I'm saying is that a lot of times we think that we only come to Christ at a low point, and the reality is he's actually calling us wherever we are. Hallelujah. And immediately they left and followed him, and going a little further, they saw him and they began to more. And then verse 21, and they went into Capernaum. We read that, but we don't understand what it means. But you have to understand what Capernaum is. Okay, and actually the proper way to understand Capernaum is to actually understand its actual pronunciation, which is Capernaum. Capernaum. In other words, what it means is village of comfort. When we dedicate, when we leave off all of our necessities, we leave off all of our things, and we choose to follow after His thing, then we are already qualified to enter into the thing that we already needed, His comfort. When we recognize that what I had was never ever going to truly fulfill me, and what I see over here is this Jesus. And this is what actually brings me into the comfort I was trying to create with all my other dysfunction. See, most of the time we stay in our dysfunction because it's gotten to be comfortable for us. But that comfort is a false comfort because it will never fulfill you. But the comfort, it comes from the one who is comfort. The one who is bringing you into a village of comfort. The one who brings you into a place. Guess where all the miracles are? Not all the miracles, but a majority of the miracles happened. in Capernaum, Capernaum. Capernaum, the village of comfort. Why? Because in that place, people were at rest to hear and to receive. When you're ready to receive, God can do something new in you. When you're ready to receive, the change can take effect and breakthrough is released. When I decide that my dysfunction is not worth holding on to anymore, that doing it over again is not going to get me a new result, now I'm set up to enter into that which truly is comfort, that which is found in Him. Hallelujah.